At this time, we have the scout presentation. Sounds like by them four, and they can introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Phil Melnick. I'm a team leader for Jonathan Saggy, and he is currently working on his bear badge, third grader. We're members of PAC 560, and Jonathan has worked on his religious award, the God in Me Award, and he completed the requirements through study and service for the God of Me Award program. He earns the right and privilege of wearing the emblem in recognition of this accomplishment. And Jonathan, here, I'll pin this on you now. You want to stand up? You can't sit down. That'll make you work, don't I? Nervous? And Jonathan, with you're wearing the God in Me emblem. The red symbolizes the love and blood of Christ. You'll always be reminded that you are best friends with Jesus. Congratulations.
That's quite an accomplishment, Jonathan. We're very proud of you. Yeah, okay, thank you. Very proud of Jonathan for his accomplishments. And want to take just a moment, we always do this when we have Scout Sunday. So many lives have been influenced by Scouts throughout the years. And I know many of you have been leaders, or you were in Cub Scouts, or Boy Scouts, or Girl Scouts, or Brownies. So if you are ever in a program or a leader, want to just take a moment and recognize you. So if you can stand, if you can't stand, just raise your hand. Thank you, and God bless you. It's a wonderful program, and really thank the leaders for taking their time and energy to do so. We'll take just a moment to go through some of our announcements very quickly. If you take your red pad, sign it, name, address, email, pass it back down the aisle. We would appreciate that. Remind you that the nursery is open in the building, just straight through these doors, down the steps, and your first door on the left as you go into the CE building. One great hour of sharing. We're going to start taking that up, and there'll be more brought to you about that. Adult Sunday School every morning in the library through here at 9:15. Then there are two handicapable restrooms through here with a baby changing table in the one on the right. The annual congregational meeting will be held on Sunday, March 25th. Timely submission of reports for auditing is greatly appreciated. Reports should be submitted to Mary Stutz or Ella Lyons, and thank you. Do we basically have all those? So we got to get them in. Almost done. We got to get those into the office and get them on the table. The Valley is on the table in the back. Some of you have already been emailed that. And there will be a memorial service for Jay Hartz's brother Jim here, and I'll be doing that service here in the sanctuary on Saturday, March the 24th at 11 a.m. There is no visitation at a funeral home or anything, so that will be done here. And so our sympathy goes out to Jay and his family. Any other announcements that need to be made?
Two announcements. First of all, thank you to BJ for working so hard with Jonathan to get his religion back. And also, just a reminder that our deacons are hosting the annual Donut Sunday on April 1st for friends, family, anybody.
Donut Sunday, April 1st after church, and thanks to BJ for working with Jonathan on his badge. Any other announcements?
Cliff?
The church website is temporarily unavailable. We're working to get that back up and running, and hopefully in our name. Also, this is a very important announcement. Cliff fixed the microphone last week. It's a different kind of setup, so the wire is not able to move and hurt, and he's got a backup one ready to go if it happens, so we can just go straight to it. So we apologize for that screeching. Believe me, it hurts me as much as it hurts you. So thanks a million to Cliff for that. Any other announcements? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A little different today. Our screen song is the hymn of praise. How great is our God. Beautiful song, one I think we'll have to work on a little bit. For those who can stand, if you're stand, a little out of order today. It's not just me today, I love it. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us through the Bible. We praise you for using Jesus to tell us about you and your love for humanity. Forgive us for not sharing the good news with our family, friends, and neighbors. Help us to be bold in our actions. Show us how to put our feet to the ground and seek out those who need you. May we come to believe that trusting in Jesus as Savior, we can find our greatest fulfillment in life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take just a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ Jesus we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us seek this morning a sense of unity here with one another, Glenshell Valley, but also with other churches in the community and around the world as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Someone here you don't know, ask them their name. Get to know their name.
Let me be as gold and
Amen. Beautiful. Our responsive reading is on faith, 662 in the back of your hymnals. Faith, 662. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible.
And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going.
By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise.
For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God.
By faith even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised.
Therefore also, there was born of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore.
By faith.
It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called."
He considered that God was able to raise him even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a son.
I'd like to open up this portion of the service with a pastoral prayer. I invite you to submit any prayer requests today and try to update you a little bit. Art Mellinger, some of you already know, is in St. Margaret's. He's lost about 40 pounds. He's not been able to eat for a while. And he's has a blockage in his bile duct. And they're running some other tests. And they'll be going in Monday morning, or sometimes Monday. And so keep him in your prayers, and some other things going on with him. That's the main one. And just keep all these other names in your hearts and prayers. Anyone else?
I took Buddy to the doctor yesterday, and he has walking pneumonia, so I'm just hoping that it doesn't get any worse.
Okay, Cody has walking pneumonia. It's her son, for those of you who don't know. Anyone else? Okay, continue to pray for Bob. Anyone else?
Prayer of thanksgiving for my boss. She got back a good report from his skin cancer.
Her boss got back a good report on his skin cancer. Thank you. Tornado victims, what I think now up to 30 have lost their lives, and so many homes just devastated. It's hard to even watch it on television. Let's go to the Lord in prayer in the Presbyterian tradition. Legion to prayer and the Lord's prayer, and we say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer this day, believing in faith that our prayers do not go unheard, that you are there to hear them, to accept them because of our relationship with Jesus Christ and his work of redemption on the cross and the power to rise from the grave, to show himself to so many people, and to ascend into heaven. And we believe that we have the power of the Holy Spirit working through us to help us, to give us strength. We thank you for that. But we come to you in prayer because you have told us to remind you of the things that are going on in our lives, the lives of our family and friends, our country, even the entire world. So we lay these prayers like an offering at your feet. We believe that you will answer them. But help us to understand that your timing is not always our timing. And the way you answer prayers are not always the way that we want them to be answered. Help us to line up our will according to your will for our lives. That's not always easy for us to do. But we pray for all those that we've mentioned, all those that we've nodded that are listed in our Valley newsletter and our bulletin, for ourselves that we might not speak out, knowing that you love us, you have compassion, empathy for each and every one of us. Thank you for everything that you have done to guide us, to help us, to nudge us along. Heal us this day, Lord, physically, mentally, spiritually, in every way. And help us to reach out in faith and help others find healing. Most of all, healing of salvation. Help us to have that courage. And thank you for Jesus and his witness and for this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn, out of your hymn book, is 465, In His Time, In His Time. Bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, what it means for each of us individually, for our families, for our nation, for the entire world, for those who will accept the redemption that you have given, the gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that you gave your Son. Lord, we give back to you not only our monies, but our hearts, our time, our talents, our energies, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, might go forth. Others might believe and find the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your kingdom, your servants. I ask that you would bless these people. Let them feel your love. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Bill will come forward and read the scripture for us. He does such a wonderful job introducing it.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. How are you today? Today's scripture is about the beginning. It's about the covenant between God and man. It is a result of Abraham's faithfulness to God when he left his land to go and live in another land at God's command. In these times, it was a great thing to leave your land where you relied on your neighbors and your friends to keep you safe and to go into another land full of dangers. God is asking Abraham to go into another land and to rely on God solely for protection rather than his family and friends. Because Abraham put his faith and literally his life in God's hands rather than relying on himself or other people, he was rewarded by being made the father of many nations. In token of this covenant, God also changed his name from Abram to Abraham, meaning from a high father to the father of a multitude. And because Sarah was also faithful with him and was without children, God honored her with a child. He also changed her name from Sarai, which means my princess, to Sarah, that signifies princess of all. The significance of this covenant is that it was the beginning. It started to lay the way for the Messiah to come to us. And that's what our blessing is in this scripture. Please listen to Genesis 17, 1 through 7, and also 15 and 16. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham, Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very faithful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you will no longer call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of all nations. Kings of people will come from her." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture. Thank you.
You like jokes? Well, I've got a groaner for you today. I haven't told one of those in a while. A man was refused entry into a fancy dining establishment one day because he was not wearing a necktie. The doorman sent him away with instructions to only return when he had an appropriate necktie, but he let him in to dine. The fellow went back to his car and rummaged through the car and opened the trunk and was looking to see if he had a tie, maybe somewhere or something he could use for a tie, but he couldn't find one. So finally he found a pair of jumper cables. So he decided to fashion a necktie out of jumper cables. So he returned to the door of the club. The doorman saw those jumper cables around his neck and said, "Well, I guess technically this is some kind of a necktie." So he said, "You can come on in." Then he added, "Just don't start anything." I warned you. I know it's a groan or a bad joke, but here's where we begin our message for today. People in history have impacted our lives were most determined to start something, to act on faith, to take the next step, to put one foot in front of the other one and begin to walk, begin to move, to become people of faith and action. Nearly 2,000 years before the time of Christ, God came to a man called Abram and gave him a command and gave him a promise. He was to go from the land of his father to the land that God would show him, and God would cause him to be a father of a great nation. And then we read one of the most important statements in all of literature. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. He went. He did what God asked him to do. So Abram took the next step. He started walking. Did I mention that Abram was 75 years old at this time? That's 15 years older than I am now. That's hard for me to imagine. At that time, you'd pack up all your belongings and not just hop on a nice airplane or a nice car or rent a van. He had to walk, gather all of his people, all of his servants, all of his belongings, and leave everything. And he couldn't just get his cell phone and call back all the time or get his GPS and do it. He has to trust God. Abraham started something, a new people, a new nation. And this, by the way, is what faith is. God speaks and we obey. We get started. We start walking. We start moving. God speaks and we get into action. Sometimes that is all we need. Sometimes our biggest obstacle in our faith and our lives is lethargy. We simply need to get moving. Recently I read about Henry Brown. He was a slave in Richmond, Virginia, who decided that he didn't want to be a slave anymore. And good for him. Who would want to be that? But it was 1856. And slaves, if they ran away and were caught, could be hung, and we know that many were caught and hung. So that's a good motivation just to say, well, I don't want to be hung, so I'll just be a slave and I'll just live my life like this. But that was not an option for Henry Brown. So he found a wooden crate just large enough for him to be able to fit inside of, and he heard of a man's name in Philadelphia, an abolitionist. So he got into this crate, closed it, shut it from the inside, and he mailed it to this man. And it took him 3 weeks for it to arrive. No FedEx, no overnight delivery. 3 weeks. How did he even survive for 3 weeks in that crate? But he did. When the man received it, he took the lid off, and Henry Brown stood up and said, "How do you do, sir? My name is Henry Brown, and I was a slave. I heard about you being an abolitionist, so I am entrusting my future to you." Sometimes what is most important is to simply get moving. God speaks, and we begin to act. Today's lesson takes place nearly 25 years after God's first call to Abram. Abram is 99 years old now. He's no spring chicken. He has followed the Lord's leading from the time the Lord first called him out of his land. But the Lord has been slow to reward Abram's faith. He and his wife Sarah are still childless. And how can Abram, a father of a great nation, if he and his wife cannot even produce one single heir? That's faith, patience, persistence, trust. Surely Abram and Sarah were ready to give up nearly 25 years and no return on their investment. That's a long time to wait. When do you cut your losses? When do you give up? When do you say it was all an illusion? The promise didn't pan out. That could have been their attitude. Instead, they chose to trust God. And the Lord appeared to Abraham again. The Lord reaffirms that promise of long ago, but this time it is stated even more forcefully. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And God changes Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai's name to Sarah. And of course, God kept his promise. At 90 years of age, Sarah bore a son. From that son came countless heirs of Abraham, both physical descendants and spiritual descendants, of which you and I are spiritual descendants of Abraham. I don't know if you've ever sang that song, Father Abraham. I used to sing that. I kind of like that song. It's an amazing story. And there's some lessons from Abraham and Sarah's life that you and I need to understand. I think the first lesson is that our timetable may not be God's timetable for our lives. Americans especially, are very impatient people. Everything is instant. Instant pudding. Instant meals. We can't even go to a restaurant. We stand in line. If there's two people in front of us, we're impatient. We want it now. I got to wait for two people in front of me. Now, give it to me. As someone has put it, God's promises delayed are not God's promises denied. Dr. Ray Pritchard gives a humorous chronology of 25 years between the first time that God promised to make him a son and the time when that promise was fulfilled. Kind of cute. At age 76, Abraham buys a crib. At age 78, they make a list of possible boy names. At age 80, they order a supply of super absorbent Pampers. At age 85, Abraham goes hunting while Sarah's friends give her a baby shower. At age 86, they put up wallpaper in the baby's room in the tent. At age 90, they subscribe to New Parent magazine. At age 93, Abraham and Sarah start Lamaze classes. At age 96, Abraham drives a practice run to the hospital. At age 98, he packs the suitcase and sets it by the front door. And at age 99, Abraham scratches his head and says, I wonder if God was just kidding. I think I've decided in my life, I think God's just pulling my leg. He's just teasing me. He's just messing with my head. I'm a bit impatient, and I think most of us are. None of us like waiting. We grow impatient when God doesn't answer our prayers right then, and especially the way that we want and desire our prayers to be answered. And yet God is faithful, always faithful to the promises that he has made to us. Our timetable is not the same timetable as God's timetable. And God's promises delayed are not God's promises denied. But there's another thing we need to say. God's purposes are grander than our imagination can envision. Abraham and Sarah had dreams for their lives, just as you and I and everyone else has dreams. They dreamed about where they would live, what their work would be like, would they have children and grandchildren? How old would they live to be? Would they be prosperous? What would their lives be like? But do you think ever in a million years They sat down and they talked to one another and thought, well, you know, one day there'll be churches and synagogues and temples. And thousands of years from now, they'll be telling our story on Sunday mornings and Saturdays and Wednesday nights. Can you imagine? Over 1 billion Christians and 1 billion Muslims and Jews, all descended from that lineage of Father Abraham. You see, they could not see their lives apart in a grander purpose that existed in the mind of God. We can look back and see it now because we read it, but when you put yourself in their shoes and try to understand it, it's different. You and I believe, think too small. If only we could imagine what God can do with our lives. Way back in 1858, a Sunday school teacher in Chicago named Ezra Kimball was trying to get up the courage to go down and walk into a shoe store. He wanted to witness to a man and tell him about his faith and about Jesus Christ and what Christ could do for him and what he had done for him. He walked by the store a couple of times, trying to work up the courage. It's not always easy. Some of you thought about doing it and backed out before telling someone. It's a little intimidating. What if they say no? What if they tell me I'm a radical? But he went on in, and the shoe clerk Kimball showed such interest in that day was named Dwight L. Moody. Some of you know that name very well. Kimball got through to Moody, and Moody went on to become the greatest evangelist of his time. But this is just the beginning of what God could do through that one Sunday school teacher's witness. Just one. Dwight Moody went on to preach a crusade in England in 1879 and had a great awakening in the heart of Frederick Meyer, pastor of a small church. And then Meyer went on to be a great theologian. In fact, Meyer was preaching in Moody's school in Northfield, Massachusetts, and a young man in the back row heard Meyer say, "If you're not willing to give up everything for Christ, are you willing to be made willing?" And those words transformed the ministry of another young man, J. Wilbur Chapman. And Chapman became a YMCA worker, founded with Christian principles as an institution. And among those who Chapman recruited to help him in his ministry was a former professional baseball player by the name of Billy Sunday. Some of you know that name. He became the greatest evangelist of his era. Later, at a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina, Billy Sunday so excited a group of men that they put a prayer group together. They would meet every week, and then they decided to invite an evangelist to come to their town, Mordecai Ham. And while Mordecai Ham was preaching, a young man by the name of Billy Graham came forward and gave his life to the Lord. And how many people have been touched by Billy Graham? I know I have. A Sunday school teacher touching someone, not knowing that him witnessing to that one person, affecting and influencing that one life, was helping to change thousands, maybe millions of lives. What you do, how you do it, you speaking to one person could change the world. That child that you teach in Sunday school, or junior church, or vacation Bible school, or that neighbor that you witness to, you have no idea what might happen and how they might influence Christianity, the world, how many people might end up following Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because of it. You and I just think too small. We need to think on the grander scheme of things. Try to think like God might. But the last thing is in trusting God that our lives find their greatest fulfillment. Following Christ is not just about building God's kingdom, it's also about discovering the abundant life for ourselves. When you find Christ, when you follow Christ and listen to Christ, your life changes. You become a better person, and I believe you become a happier person. And I'm always talking about that peace that passes all understanding. And you might go through troubles and trials and tribulations and get beat down some, but I believe that when you have Christ as your foundation, you rise back up to that place because of Christ, and you get your feet planted back on that solid foundation. So I'm trying to say to you, when you follow God's leadership, you're not only a part in God's great plan for creation, but you find the most fulfilling life for yourself as well. So take the time to pray and say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? What is your grand purpose for my life? Help me to put myself, my will, my ambitions out of the way for a while and say, God, what do you want and what do you desire of me? Can you do that? How can I serve you, God? How can I become pleasing to you? Abraham and Sarah did as God commanded, and God rewarded them far beyond their wildest dreams. Not as quickly as they might have hoped and thought about, because God's timetable is not like your and my timetable. But God rewarded them far beyond anything that they could ever have imagined. In other words, to me, it was worth waiting for. That became a blessing to the entire world. And you and I are blessed today because of it. What we need to do is act upon our faith. Believe, act upon our faith, and take the next step. Get busy. Get walking. Do something for yourself. Do something for God. You could touch thousands of lives by touching one. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn is 405, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place, verse 1 and the refrain. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary, let that faith rest within you, deep within your heart and your soul and your mind. But get your feet moving. Get your body moving. Pray. Find out what God wants you to do and do it. Take the gospel to your family, to your friends, in a relationship way, in a loving way. Help people. Do what you can for the kingdom of God, and you will be blessed more than you can dream. Go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.